The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Great Debate Monday edition, Dom. This whole week about great debates. Welcome to
happy debate week. Crudy, good to see you, my friend. Aaron, working the board, thank you for your hard work. Of course, our fair audience, thank you for joining the political party. Can't wait to get to the debate.
Well, Dom, there will be a debate Thursday night, contrary to your incorrect assessment.
We're not there yet, man. We'll see.
Well, the great debate about whether or not there will be a debate on Thursday night, it will be settled by Thursday night, I suspect.
Exactly, yes.
And yeah, you're all invited down to the Barrymore Theater. Dom and Crute, the Devil's Advocates, with our friends at the Barrymore Theater in the Progressive Magazine. We're doing a party, Dom, a panel discussion right up to the great debate, the most important debate of your lifetime. Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. 8 o'clock is the debate. 7 o'clock is the very important pre-debate panel discussion. Bring money for the bar, but it doesn't cost you nothing to get in the door. So the great debate, Thursday night, that's coming up quick, Dom. You know, maybe we'll have to get some pre-debate. Well, you were mentioning to me, everybody's what, a debate preparation expert now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone now going to debate with the president. What's going to happen? Of course, everyone gets their, you know, debate. They Google debate. How do you do a debate? Best debate, debate prep. Everyone's like doing their debate expert. Everyone's a debate expert right now. I am not a debate expert, but I will argue with anybody.
You certainly will. Down the really important debate, Eric Hudvey and Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senate race right here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They have agreed to a televised debate, but it seems like a long time from now. 4 months out, October 18th.
Yeah, 7 p.m. That's a Friday. So if you're not doing anything way into the future, October 18th at 7 p.m. Central, Eric Hudvey and Senator, our fine Senator, they will debate.
I'm pretty sure I was busy getting some fish and going to a high school football game that night, Dom.
It's maybe not the best time, but we'll see. Well, another debate, the debate about the debate. It's too far out, man, right? Why so far out? Just one debate then?
4 months out. One debate. Mano, I guess. Well, they're both one-on-one. Yes. Two candidates enter and two probably leave the studios that night, but one will be damaged and the other great debate, Dom, will he being Eric Hudvey, the interloper, the Laguna Beach multimillionaire, will he be there with his porn stash or not? That is the real debate, Dom.
That is, everyone wants to know, Crudy.
Well, we can answer that question now for you, the audience. Eric Hudvey, for once and for all, I mean, it definitely looks like a porn stash. Somewhere between a porn stash and maybe Magnum PI, falling in that definitely late 70s, early 80s sort of genre.
And I got to be honest, once this debate, and once it became aware of this particular mustache debate, it's the most interest I've had in the Eric Hudvey campaign since he announced I mean, I mean, he lost me right off the track, right off the bat when he had his big windup. I'm running for Senate. Never said Wisconsin. The word Wisconsin never came out of his senatorial campaign ad. His first one doesn't mention the beautiful, wonderful state of Wisconsin that he apparently wants to represent. But the mustache, man, I mean, inquiring minds want to know.
Well, Aaron has been doing the hard work, and we have the answer. Here he is, candidate Hudvey, running for the U.S. Senate. The great debate with porn stash or without, played for the people.
Well, the results are in. Keep the stash, get rid of the stash. As I alluded to, keep the stash was solidly in the lead, and then get rid of the stash, it started to drift back to almost 50-50, but in the final surge, 62% voted keep the stash. So I guess the stash is staying until at least the election, and then after that, it will go back to my wife, who will have the ultimate decision on whether I keep it or get rid of it. Thanks for all you participating in it. It's been a funny joke to have this mustache of mine becoming such a topic during a Senate campaign, but it's been lighthearted and fun to laugh and debate over. So thanks for participating. Take care.
Take care.
Take care. I'm here. He's doing a free mustache rides fundraiser. So, I mean, you got that going for him, which is nice. how much are you willing to give? I mean, give a little, you know, $3, $27, you know, whatever you can give. And you will get the appropriate amount of mustache ride time.
I'm going to send him some mustache wax. Yeah. Let me ask you, Dom.
Mm-hmm.
Did if you were going to make this a focal point, and you were going to have a little fun with this topic, we had more fun with it than they did. We added the music. Otherwise, it's just dry. I've been doing a lot of painting.
Trying to be funny just comes off as dry. Yeah, you got to add a little music, you know, a little funk to it. Bring something out of it. I mean, Hubdy's just, he's a seemingly an awkward guy.
You know what I'm saying? Wearing a gray t-shirt with an American flag across his chest. No collars, because he's a working class stiff.
Yeah.
You know, the multi-millionaire, billionaire bank owner, you know, wearing his t-shirt with the American flag as people do.
Just, but he gets to wear that cowboy outfit and ride that horse and you know, get those bank fees lowered for you when you join his bank. He'll capture those bank fees. So the guy doesn't mention Wisconsin in his inaugural campaign ad. You know, I went on his website after this, and he's got a few, you know, bullet points, but he's just a stick in. You know, here's what we should remember. This guy doesn't want you to have an abortion ever for anything, right? And today, what, 2 years since Dobbs? Today, let's remember Eric Hovde, because that's the one thing that sticks out. Then the fact, of course, he has a terrible mustache and didn't mention Wisconsin.
Well, Dobbs, of course, overturned Roe v. Wade. We've got a fine show in part built around that thought. We've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She's an OBGYN. She's a congressional candidate running in Green Bay against the Trump-endorsed, well, I guess it's quite a primary field up there. You got the anti-abortion Andre Jacques, because God told him to.
And then you got
Tony Weed, the dino
gas station dude,
the dino gas station heir to the dino gas station money.
I don't think he's an heir. I think he sold it, so there are no heirs, so that's now gone.
His old man built it. He was the heir. He received it and sold it.
Excellent.
He cashed out dad's hard work.
And now he does have the 34-time convicted felon Donald Trump's endorsement. The weed man. Yeah.
Think of him. And then Roger Roth, who wasn't dynamic enough to win the lieutenant governor's race in the state of Wisconsin. Poor Roger. Not going to be a cycle this year either.
Does it even matter to stick him in? Fill in the blank. I mean, this year, it's going to be Trump, and that's going to be the down ticket. And do people shy away from Trump? Is Trump going to help the down ticket? Is he going to hurt the down ticket? It can't be great. I just don't think it'll be great for guys like Hovde and Andre Jacques, because it's going to be a lot about Trump.
Well, they've both been at Trump rallies, being endorsed by Trump, haven't they? They've both bathed in the glow of the
the glory
mega cult leader, Dom. Both Hovde and Tony Weed are Trump supported at this late hour, I do believe. And the big debate coming up, Dom, it's not going to have people in the audience, but I wonder why Eric Hovde didn't make his pilgrimage to the Manhattan courthouse and go sit there at the Trump trial. Why didn't he have to do? Well, I guess he's not looking to be the VP. If you want to be the vice president, you got to go spend some time in a Manhattan courthouse with Trump.
Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense.
Now, Trump, when he goes to the debate, I think it's happening in Hotlanta. Apparently, he may have his vice presidential pick with him. And apparently, he knows who that is, but he's keeping it a mystery from the person.
Oh, it's a big secret, huh?
He's not even telling the selected, the chosen one, if you will, Dom.
Now, wasn't he going to announce it, my understanding, here at the convention?
Well, yes, but now he's trying to make it exciting, Dom.
Seeing as that the debate is, this week?
Yes.
Sentencing is in a couple of weeks, and then the convention. Oh, and we're still waiting on the Supreme Court ruling on his absolute immunity, which should come down this week, maybe. Maybe.
Is that even a debate? Should there be a debate about whether or not the president has immunity? Because I got to say, if there is and it rolls out, SEAL Team 6, stand back and stand by. I'm going to need you, in Hotlanta come Thursday.
Terrible. Can't Folks, possibly. Yes.
We are the devil's advocates. I've never seen, I've probably seen you this clean shaven, but not since middle school.
I shaved this
morning. No porn stash for you.
No. I mean, I tried it once. It's quite impressive, but it actually kind of takes over. So, Clippers shave, man. That's all I got time for.
I remember when you did the porn stash. That was like a year and a half ago. Yeah. A little embarrassing. Kind of like that Hudby character.
You were a little scared, weren't you?
Yeah, like I am every time I see a John Holmes movie. Come back, more Devils. Happy Monday. Welcome to it.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us anytime, 844-967-2789.
We made Aaron play this one for Aaron because he's wearing dark sunglasses at the bar. He's like cool hipster guy in there.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was trying to be cool, but it's quite the opposite. My normal glasses have been broken for like a month. And I finally ordered new ones, but they're not here yet. And before the Todd Albaugh show, which I also produce, I was trying to glue them back together again because it's one of the arms that fell off.
Oh, yeah.
And instead, I'm sitting there holding it, waiting for it to bond. And then I pick up my hands and realize it did not bond to the rest of the glasses. It bonded to my finger. So then I had to try and wash it off and keep scrubbing at it.
Yeah, that doesn't come off easy, does it?
No, it does not.
Some mineral spirits or something. It's got good adhesive to everything but the glasses arm, apparently.
It seems that way.
They look good on you, though.
Aaron, thanks for helping us out today, man.
For sure.
Dom, when's the last time you read the Sunday paper? Used to be a big deal. I mean, reading the Sunday paper. When's the last time you read anything? Let me restate.
Well, I read every day, man. I read for a couple hours every day. On my save tabs, I think I'm up to like 35 different, news and different site tabs that I get through every day.
So you read everything, Sarah?
I read everything all the time. Well, not everything. I got it. I see all the headlines, and then I drill down on something that I that catches my attention or something I want to talk about or whatever. Yeah. So
when's the last time
news, man?
Yeah, so you read a paper though,
an actual paper,
preferably the Sunday paper. You used to have the funnies and the big sports page,
you know, my neighbor,
classifieds
occasionally, you know, put in front of her door, but no, I don't read actual newspaper. I'll read, they got the Journal Sentinel online, you know, don't get the paper. Washington Post, New York Times, sure, don't get the actual paper. No, it's been a long time.
The last one I purchased said indicted across the top. Yeah, big picture of Trump on it.
Oh, all right.
I kept that one at the house.
Man. Yeah, you're not throwing that one away. Did you read it?
Well, online. I didn't want to harm the indicted version, you know.
Of course, yes. That takes away from the value in 100 years from now.
Yes.
It's going to be worth something. Hell, even by then, you might be worth something.
Given another 100 years of compounding interest, I might be worth a dollar. Dom, that was quite a column by former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish in Wisconsin State's Journal's Sunday edition earlier this month. I'm going to be honest with you, Dom. I didn't read it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
The original piece, not from Becky. We have to be able to trust our elections, the Republican Clayfish insisted, adding that too many Wisconsinites harbor distrust in the voting process.
Why do you think that would possibly be, Rebecca?
I can say that Wisconsin elections are as secure as any state's, she wrote. We have seen real results, and our elections are overseen by hundreds of devoted poll watchers and workers with integrity and a critical eye to prevent cheating. If anyone should know why so many Wisconsinites are doubtful of elections, it's Clayfish. She wasn't praising the voting system following the 2020 presidential election, which saw her hero, Donald Trump, lose here in Wisconsin. No, she was all supportive of the fraudulent election lies that helped erode the people's trust of the vote she's lamenting now. She later admitted on a Sunday talk show that Joe Biden indeed won, but still expressed doubts about how the election was conducted. Then Clayfish went further to erode election trust in 2022 when she vied for the GOP gubernatorial nomination to take on Democrat Tony Evers. She doubled down on the untrustworthiness of the vote. Here's what she said then, Dom. Republican candidate for governor I'm apparently not reading her quote, but a article about her in the Journal Sentinel. Republican candidate for governor Rebecca Clayfish is escalating her criticism of how the last presidential election was carried out in Wisconsin, calling it rigged, a rigged contest. Despite court rulings and recounts confirming the outcome, that was the lead of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story when Clayfish entered the race.
Rudy, that story goes on. At the time, the article continued. Clayfish on Tuesday compared decisions made by Wisconsin election officials to navigate the coronavirus pandemic to those of NFL quarterback Tom Brady in 2015 when he was accused of using deflated footballs to gain an advantage for the New England Patriots in a playoff game. The story continued. Clayfish said candidates who don't address the 2020 election should be disqualified in voters' minds. Disqualified, I tell you. Referring to Tim Michaels, a wealthy construction executive from Waukesha County, who entered the race last week. Again, that was a Journal article at the time. Now, the Cap Times, I believe this is Dave Zweifel, the correct crew? Yes.
Yeah.
Dave continues on.
At the Cap Times. Yes.
Today, Scott Walker's lieutenant governor was obviously hoping to gain Donald Trump's endorsement in the 2020 primary, so declaring Wisconsin's election rigged was a surefire way to get the liar-in-chief's attention. It didn't work. Trump soon gave his impromptu to Michaels instead. Michaels then went on to decisively lose to Evers that November. Now, less than 2 years later, Clayfish is asking us to forget it all. We've got to trust the election system, she now says. Yes, we do need to trust our election process. In fact, we always did until the 2020 election, when the loser refused to concede and began sowing seeds of doubt with the help of acolytes like Clayfish. No amount of rewriting history will change that fact. Dave Zweifel, as usual, lighten people up and tell them the truth at the Cap Times. Thank you, Dave.
I don't think that tells the entirety of the story, though, in regards to the Clayfishes and Trump. Because if you recall, Don, the reason Donald Trump did not endorse Rebecca Clayfish, what, her teenage daughter went on a platonic date with Hagedorn's kid? They went to prom together?
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn, who ruled against Donald Trump in that 4-3, in which they wanted to throw out a bunch of ballots.
200,000 absentee ballots from Dayton in Milwaukee County. Someone flew the picture of the Clayfish kid down to Mar-a-Lago to make sure that Trump was properly incensed by it. Trump then came out and endorsed Michaels. Rebecca Clayfish might have had a fighting chance against Tony Evers. Michaels never did. You know, what a fired politician calling Wisconsinites lazy that day when Trump came to rally with him right in Rebecca Clayfish's backyard in Waukesha. Remember that? We were there?
I do.
Well, maybe Clayfish has seen the light, Dom. And maybe she always knew, and maybe she was being politically triangulating. But if she's moved beyond that point, can we give her a little bit of credit? She's one of the few Republicans that trust the elections.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition. This whole week's about debates. I'm reading the text line, so you don't have to, little buddy. Sherry says, hi, Devils. Hi, Sherry. Listening in HorrorCon. Wes from Middleton, and we got to correct the record here. Wes from Middleton says, why's hubby got to do the porn music? This guy knows he's a joke. Excited to see him debate Tammy, given how bad at talking he is. A little admission, Wes. We did the porn music, but it was elect item this.
Yeah, man, we added a little bit something to it. We spruced it up a bit, you know, had to make it ours. You know, it's the power of radio.
Tried to make it tolerable because there's no funny. There's no there. Just not shaving the stash. 62% of people say keep the John Holmes porn stash. Here's more WMDX texter. Devils, the joke is on us with Hudvey. Maybe. Yeah, right. And maybe. Then Robert sent us, I don't know if you've ever seen the Incubus album Science, which I have not, but there's a guy that's the spitting image of Eric Hudvey, at least, porn stash wise. So that one got shared. And then Aaron's telling the story about his broken glasses. And, we got the Rodney Dangerfield, my arm. And, of course, when, what was it? The Knights of Knee came out and the guy's chopping off parts.
Oh,
it's just a flesh wound. Few shared that with us. 844-967-2789.
So, before we get back, I just got to tell you a quick story. I was at the coin the other night after the show.
The room of coin!
Room of coin! Talking to some friends, and dude told me, he's like, hey, you know, that DJ T-Stack you told me about isn't doing very well. And I was like, wait. What? So we were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and it was right after one of the times that DJ T-Stock was just plummeting. And I'm like, so I'm sarcastically talking in the bar with a bunch of friends and people and locals and regulars and just laughing. Oh my God, you got to check out this DJ T. Well, my buddy, this is what he does. He hears things, and he writes it down on his phone and checks it out later. He says he actually has a little list of like things he hears, stock tips he hears about at the bar. And that little part of his portfolio is apparently not doing very well because he literally went out and bought some DJ T-Stock. I felt so bad. I'm like, oh my God, dude. No, you did not. He's pulling up the ear. Oh my God, dude. So no, do not. We are not a financial.
Unless you're CJ. And then we strongly encourage a full investment in DJ T-Stock. The truthy.
Returns are not indicative of future returns. Yeah.
The truthy social mothership.
Yeah.
As DJT suffered a few flesh wounds.
Apparently.
It's not dead yet.
It was it took a pretty big beating last week. Let's just pull it up real quick while we're
there. There's still a beating to be had, but Dom,
it's up 21% today, up to 33.52.
Tell that guy he owes you a drink.
Come on, man. As you got to, as it goes down, you got to buy more. That way, you know, you got to leverage base. So when it comes up, you'll get better return.
Now, we were talking about Rebecca Clayfish. I'm not giving you stock advice. At this moment in history, I own no individual stocks. I've totally divested myself in case I want to run for something.
Oh, great.
Rebecca Clayfish. She was Scott Walker's lieutenant governor. Not where I'd want to launch the future political career, because she had never run for anything before. She wasn't a lawmaker. She ran, and she wasn't Walker's choice. He wanted Brett Davis, and she won the primary. And suddenly, Walker stuck with Rebecca Clayfish.
Or vice versa.
And vice versa, right? Because Walker was a very divisive sort of leader. But when he eventually lost, you know, she had done all the right things. She's out there. She's heading up the 501c3, the 1848 committee, or whatever it was called, Dom. And she decided she was going to run for governor. You know, she had already served as LT, and it was time to take the big chair. Maybe. And when she announced her campaign, if I recall, Dom, the announcement video was all about the Kenosha riots. And it was all about blaming it on Tony Evers. Well, if you want the job, you got to give me a reason to fire the last guy. And as a guy who voted for Tony Evers a couple times, I didn't like the ads, but I could certainly understand the cast. I wish he hadn't. It felt like, you know, instead of leading with, here's why I should be the next governor, she led with, you know, here's why you need to fire that guy. But that's the political strategy they chose. But ultimately, Dom, she wasn't the Trump endorsee. And, you know, she flirted right on that whole, well, you know, can't quite trust the outcome of the last election, because that's what they all had to do. And I'm not condoning it. But if they ever move beyond that point, if they ever come to the side of reasonableness, and apparently Rebecca Clayfish, according to a op-ed she's now written a couple of Sundays ago at the Wisconsin State Journal, she's seen the light, Dom, and she's ready to represent the integrity of the Wisconsin election, the very same election that helped her win election a couple times over, right? She won elections here. She trusts the elections. Welcome to the party, pal. That's what I would say. But you and Dave Zweifel, but you're going to crush her because this was not always her attitude. So let's hear it.
Well, a couple of things, and I did peruse her article from the Wisconsin State Journal. This was on June 13th, and just reading through it quickly and looking at some of the topics on her paragraphs, she doesn't mention rigging whatsoever. Now, she talks at length about, you know, these are the election workers are our neighbors and our live on our blocks. There are people like us who believe in the promise of American equipment. We can always help continue to rebuild faith, yada, yada, yada. But I don't know. I don't get a pass. I'm not that Rebecca Clayfish or any politician gives a damn what Dominic thinks. But if you're going to go to such length to sycophant yourself, to subjugate yourself to a guy like Donald Trump simply for your political ambition, and in that process lie to the American people about the rigging, it was rigged. I mean, that's what she said. She didn't apologize. She hasn't explained away any of her previous comments. She hasn't talked about, at least in that particular article, why she was wrong. Was she wrong? I'm not sure about the elections being like the New England Patriots quarterback cheating. She didn't take back the rigged contest comments that I saw. So it's one thing to shift your political opinion as, well, I guess now everyone's believing that, oh, man, the elections are work. I'll stop saying that again. No, that doesn't absolve you in my mind. Great. So you went from one thing to another, back to something else. You didn't apologize. You didn't explain away your previous thought. You didn't tell me what evidence has come forward to make you change your mind. I haven't heard any of that. So what I see is this explanation, this effort to try to, I don't know, rewrite it. I'm not even saying she's rewriting it, but what about those people that live on your block and these local hardworking people that believe in American dream and trying to do the best they can. What about those people? What about the rigging that you just accused every single one of them of doing? Will you explain to me how that went down? Because until you do that, until you acknowledge, until you accept the fact, then you show a little remorse for the lies that you told, that you helped. Because it wasn't just you. It was everybody. It was you. It was Walker. It was all the Republicans. All the Republicans that won. Oh, my election was fine, but everyone else, that was terrible. They got fraud. They're willing to throw their own out. This was a concerted effort, a long-term concerted effort started by Trump in, early 20. It was so transparent and so blatant, and you jumped on it for political reasons. So yeah, you could say that now. I don't trust you at your word. You haven't acknowledged, you haven't said, yes, I was wrong about rigging and I apologize and I should respect my constituents better and I shouldn't, sacrifice myself for my political gain like that. We're not talking about what tax rates should be or whether or not trickle-down economics works. We're talking about the basis of our system, the elections. And you ran fully well into it for political expediency to try to get your endorsement from your orange goddess. You didn't get it. And now you're on the outside. Now we got to trust our neighbors. Sorry, man. Doesn't work for me. Not what she said, not where she came from. She has a lot more to do for me. How about you?
844-967-2789. I'd rather hear from the audience, but here's where I will fault Rebecca Clayfish. She went to Mayor Lago, she kissed the ring, and she looked for Trump's endorsement. That's what you do, right? When you're a Republican.
Sure. Sure.
Now, I would point out the competition was not just Tim Michaels. It was also your boy Ram Jam, right? So there is a whole nother level of let's just say, loyalty. Because Ram Jam wanted to throw out the 2020 election.
Rantham.
Yeah, Tim Rantham, state assembly guy, then gubernatorial candidate, guy that tried to get us arrested at the Wisconsin State Capitol, Dom. Well, he ran for gubernator as well. And he was on the harsh side. And I would also point out the Clayfishes, who probably don't talk about this a lot publicly, but I am personal friends with her husband, Joel. And I've known Joel because Joel's been a broadcaster and worked with me on the radio for some number of years. And I know that their family was targeted by Trump. Their teenage daughter was targeted by Trump. So, where did she find God? Maybe it was being on the receiving end of the threats from Trump's MAGA supportive. Maybe you didn't quite know what you were asking for till Trump put a target on your teenage daughter's back. And if she has found God, found good governance, found civility since then, Dom, maybe they haven't talked about the why, but I can tell you the why. Why is because their damn family was targeted by Trump.
Number one, if you you get into bed with Trump, then you got what's coming to you. So I'm sorry. I don't feel bad for anyone that experiences that. Period. That's on you. Number two, I don't give a damn.
No,
how
its
many
teenage daughter right, deserves to be targeted by the president of the United
right
States.
Run against, and if they decide to go hard right now, the election was stolen. So now I got to be hard right leaning and say it was rigged. Well, it's still your decision to make. Rigged based on what? So, no, that doesn't do it for me. You get into bed with Donald Trump, and I'm supposed to feel bad because you didn't get the endorsement, and now they're coming after you. Liz, I get that. That's awful. But you decided to – you're going to vote for him? A Republican's going to vote for him? That's what – this is the whole point. Everyone talks about, we got to take over. We need a strong man. We need a dictator for a day. We want someone who's decisive and powerful. Well, when that happens, if that happens, that eventually they come for you. She effed around and found out they came for her. Now, I didn't hear that.
What,
her personal story.
What did she do? What did Rebecca Clayfish personally do? And even so, that's the parent. You're talking about targeting of a teenage girl. What did the daughter do to deserve that? And quite frankly, what did the mother? What did the mother do?
Man.
What was her crime?
She tried to sycophant up to Donald Trump and court the hard right national and went against the grain and eventually got what everyone who goes against Trump gets. That's what happened, right? Is that what happened?
Sure.
It seems pretty consistent for anybody that goes against Trump.
Sure. You and okay. I are out here doing radio shows. We make ourselves targets of sort. If Donald Trump went after our teenage kids, Would that be a little different standard than perhaps our personal accountability for our actions?
Absolutely. I'd be screaming it from the rooftops if I were GOP former gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish. But I'm hearing it from you, not her. And the stuff she's writing down does not apologize for misleading, doesn't articulate why she was wrong in the first place. No, man, it takes more than that for me. You don't get just to change your mind and say, okay, well, it's fine. No, man, that's not how it works. Life is not like that.
Yeah, life is exactly like that. If new information comes to light, if we inform people and they get new facts that have come to their... Well, being targeted by the former president...
What has that got to do with the electoral system, whether or not it's rigged? Zero.
Maybe she did a little investigating, Dom. She investigated the rumors.
Okay, man.
Do you not have any humanity in this case, Tom? It's just
humanity.
Burn it down. Burn it down. She liked Trump once, and she should suffer any consequence for the rest of her life. Doesn't matter if she's come to your side. Burn her at the stake.
844,
I disagree.
2789. Don't put words in my mouth. What you said?
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Radio show. Happy Monday to us all. Join us on the political party line, 844-967-2789.
Can't be a gracious winner in this case. Can't welcome her to your team. Hey, Rebecca.
What?
Team reality.
Welcome to not lying to me and to people anymore.
So unless
Thank you for making a public mea culpa
for Dom's sake.
No. There's not a mea culpa there, dude. Did you read the article? Let me give you the first couple of paragraphs, and you tell me if this is a public mea culpa. America stands as a beacon of freedom for a world looking for us to set the example of how self-determination and government of, by, and for the people should function. But our standing is weakened when our public's faith in the fairness of our elections is shaken. Responsibility now falls to us as one nation to act as the checks and balances on our government and exert our will at the polling place to send a message to our leaders, not the other way around. The most concerning aspect of our political discourse has not been heated disagreements over policy and values. I believe that was the intention of our founders. I'm concerned about the rapid erosion of trust in the system that allows us to sort out and determine winners and losers in those differences. Today, too many Wisconsinites harbor doubt about the integrity of our elections. And the worst outcome for America is that those doubts cause voters to stop participating in elections. Whether skepticism emanates from sincere concerns regarding specific processes or online rumors is irrelevant. If voters are concerned that a declared winner of an election is truly legitimate after election day, then the foundation of our democracy and our political system are threatened, yada, yada, yada. She was part of that. See what I'm saying? She was willfully part of that. And she's not apologizing for that. She's not acknowledging that. It's just, oh, we all got to do better. Sorry, man, that doesn't do it for me. I know it seems perhaps harsh, and I'm not saying she should be burned at the stake. That's what you said. I don't think anybody should be burned at the stake, Crudy.
But there should be no forgiveness.
A minor family member is involved and gets threatened by the megas. Yeah, that's terrible. Happens apparently more often than we probably know. But those are the people that you decided to get into bed with. And what I don't see in this article is, number one, her repudiating the false assertions of rigged election that she said when she was running. Didn't hear that. And I didn't hear her calling out megas for threatening her family. So, I mean, she wrote something. Great. Yes, generally speaking, I would agree with some of those sentences. But you can't. It's hard for me to believe when you write them down when you are part of the problem and you don't acknowledge your role in it. I don't forgive. There's no asking of forgiveness there, understanding. Oh, whether or not their online rumors were legitimate concerns about the processes. Well, where were you? What was you? What was your position? Maybe you could drill down on that. What was the rigging you were talking about? Where was that happening? Come on, that's not anything. That's not acknowledgement. That's not acceptance. That's not sorrow. That's not regret.
Because you see that all the time in politics. People go out there and they
hey man, you ask,
flog
you're asking
themselves
me. You're asking
publicly.
Me. You're asking me. You're asking me. That's my answer.
If new information comes to light, man, if new facts come to light, if people change their freaking mind.
What facts have come to light?
Hey, go ask Rebecca.
Well, come on, man.
You're I'm making an argument. Her. Can I say something without you shutting
you
me down?
A cogent one, I'd appreciate it. Yeah, man. That sucks, doesn't it? Because it's you know I'm right. Because there's
no. Because I know you're fight. Rude, dude. I know you're being a jacknut. Yeah, you're being freaking rude.
Okay, man.
Let me finish sentence.
I'll try to be nice. I'm more nice. Please go ahead, Michael.
If information, because we're out here trying to bring information to the people, if someone's mind has changed, does it freaking matter how it happened, or do they must go out and make a public apology for all the wrong they've done, or their new position is not acceptable? Because I'm saying, man, if they come to our side, can't we accept that? Or if they haven't gone out there and done enough to publicly renounce their prior position, no, I wrecked it. I screwed up. Isn't it enough, dude? You ever crawled back with your tail between your legs and told your wife, hey, man, I'm sorry.
My answer for me personally, no, that's not enough. Absolutely not. No, thank you very much. Thank you for your effort. I stated my criticism. I can do it again if you'd like.
Have you ever been wrong about anything and maybe corrected the record?
Have I ever stood in front of the people of this state and told them that their election was rigged? And then and went back, a year or two later and decided, oh, well, we need to have faith in our system. Without acknowledging the, come on, man. It doesn't flow. There's got to be more to it than that. It's got to be more than just those words,
you
man.
You voted for Becky words. Clayfish in the recall, man. That is unforgivable. You voted for Walker. And Clayfish.
You tell me, all right. Yes, I am. You're right. I absolutely
But you wouldn't
did.
Repeat that error, would you?
As a guy who's voted for Republicans and for Democrats and for Libertarians. My expectation of all the politicians and the people in my life, my friends and my family, are all the freaking same, man. You don't get up and lie to my face and expect me to just say, oh, no big deal. She came around to my side. Hey, thank you very much. Keep moving, please. Because I don't need that in my life. I don't need that kind of drama in my life. And I'm going to call people out who act like that, man. As everybody should. That's not acceptable to me, man.
You can rail against every politician ever because you know what? Sometimes they quietly change their mind and bring a new position forward.
I'm not clear any minds were changed. And I'm not clear any new information came about.
Well, if she's putting a public face out there recommending that the people of the state of Wisconsin support the election apparatus as it is, well, that's a little change of tune, is it not? For any Republican in this state.
Doesn't it both beg the question, what changed? You were telling me it was rigged last time. Please. Continue. That's my follow-up question, man. I want to see that article.
Well, I didn't see her out there endorsing Tim Michaels publicly. You know what I mean? I didn't see her doing that. You were out publicly endorsing Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish in the recall through your own twisted logic.
Yes, I am an independent, and I treat everybody the same. At least I try to.
Like a jackknife.
I'm consistent like that.
Yes, consistently rude sometimes.
Sometimes the truth hurts, and it sucks to hear it. But sometimes a guy like me has got to tell it to you.
Yeah, that's why you've got a plethora of friends that are all wrong, and you're going to tell them why!